You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. And now a true story, so improbable you might mistake it for New Age science fiction. Jim Olson, University of Washington doctor, has figured out how to make cancerous tissue glow. And listen to what the special ingredient is.
Scorpion, when they make a venom, there's 10,000 or 100,000 different proteins in it. And they all work together to create the poison. In this case, we're using one molecule made by the scorpion, but it in itself is not toxic to humans as far as we know, or dogs or other mammals.
Yeah, you heard him right, scorpion venom. Dr. Jim Olson says a patient's death led him to study scorpions.
By a 17-year-old girl that I took care of in 2004. At that time, this girl had a huge operation over at Seattle Children's Hospital. And after the whole operation was over, she still had a big piece of cancer left in her brain. And the surgeon was just mortified because he had been trained at Harvard. He had worked for 25 years as a surgeon. He had worked for 17 hours on this. And he left that piece in thinking that it was normal brain. And at the end of tumor board, this doctor, whose name is Rich Ellenbogen, and he's head of neurosurgery here at UW, came up to me and he said, we've got to find a way to make these things light up so that we can see what we're doing when we're in the operating room, not relying on our eyes and our fingers and our thumbs. And so he gave his best student, Patrick Abikian, to come over to the lab. And every night we just tried out a bunch of different ideas that Patrick would research during the day, going through all the genomic databases. And then after 6 weeks of me saying, no, this won't work, he finally came back to me and he said, there's this group down in Alabama that's working on a scorpion toxin, and they happen to be using brain tumor cells to study it. So I said, this could be the one that we're looking for. Let's put a little molecular flashlight on it. We'll inject it into a mouse that has a human tumor growing on its back. We'll see if it lights up.
That's so interesting. The research started in a completely different place, and you realized
Absolutely.
It was totally adaptable to what your problem was.
It's one of the fun things about being in science is every time a scientist anywhere in the world runs a research program, we publish the results and we share them with every other scientist in the world. So it's all open access information.
So you had this idea. It sounded like it could work. Now you've got to try it out. You've got to write some grants to do the tests. What was it like telling or funding organizations, I think a scorpion venom concoction might help make tumors glow?
Well, the result of telling them that was that I got zero out of my first six grants. They all thought that it was too speculative, that it might not work, that we might not complete the work in the time frame of the grant. And so, you know, I'm not blaming the National Cancer Institute. I think that they admire and encourage innovation. But my peer scientists that reviewed it weren't ready for something that seems so speculative.
I'm talking to University of Washington Dr. Jim Olson about his new project. It uses scorpion venom to find cancerous areas in brains. Tell me a little bit about how far along the research is now.
Well, as I said, we started 10 years ago. And at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, we advanced the program to learn that not only did it light up brain cancer, but it lit up breast, prostate, colon, skin, many other kinds of cancer. We developed a number of drug candidates for it, and in 2011, we transferred that technology to a new biotech company called Blaze Bioscience. And Blaze, in the subsequent 2 years, set up human clinical trials, manufactured the drug, and currently tumor paint, known as Blaze 100, BLZ 100, is in human clinical trials in Brisbane, Australia.
How are the trials going?
We're not allowed to talk about the specific details of the trials because of FDA regulations. But what I can say is we're exactly on track of where we want it to be in terms of moving these trials forward, and we're looking forward to running advanced trials here in the United States in the coming year or two.
So you first were inspired to do this by the realization that there was still cancer left after there was a brain surgery done. If this pans out the way that you hope it will, and the use of this scorpion venom lights up cancerous areas, how is that going to improve cancer treatment?
Well, I think that right now there are about 1 million people a year that have cancer surgeries where knowing exactly where the margin is makes a big difference. If you have head and neck cancer, it might mean that you get to preserve your tongue for the rest of your life. If you have brain cancer, it might mean the difference between whether you're paralyzed or not. I think one of the huge areas is breast cancer, where when a surgeon completes their case, they look to see if the edges of the margin are negative for breast cancer cells. And if they are, the person goes home and either has some therapy or they watch and wait. in the dogs that we did studies with, not only did the main tumor light up, but there were some other spots that were at a little distance away from the main cancer. So you could have negative margins and still have spots of cancer in that breast. And if the same thing is happening with women, which I believe it very well may be, there are a lot of women who are being undertreated and whose cancer comes back simply because the surgeon didn't even know it was there.
Is it very hard to get a lot of scorpion venom that you need for this?
Well, the cool thing is we never touch a scorpion. We never touch scorpion venom. In this day and age, all we need is the DNA sequence. So to give you an idea of how powerful genetics are right now, we had a person in my lab, Damon May, who wrote a computer program that kind of surfed through all the genomic databases out there. And in a day and a half, he identified 206,000 drug candidates from plants and animals that we can use as scaffolds to create new human drugs.
I actually have some experience with this because I had some cancer in my nose, and they do a type of surgery called Mohs, where they try to take it out. They take you out and see if there's any left and go back in and cut a little more out. They don't want to cut a lot out of your nose. And would this be applicable to that kind of surgery that so many people undergo when they have skin cancer?
I think so, and I hope so. A personal example is that in 2008, my mom had a similar surgery on her nose for skin cancer. And they thought they had it all, even with Mohs surgery. And in fact, they had missed some that was tracking back along a nerve. And last year, she came here to Seattle for some medical care. And we learned that cancer spread all over in her brain and along the socket of her eye. And she had to have extensive and kind of horrifying treatment for it. And to be able to prevent something like that is exactly the dream behind this whole program.
How's she doing?
She's doing great right now.
That's good to hear.
Because she was at UW, the surgeons and radiation oncologists and oncologists worked together, and they found areas of cancer that probably would have been missed other places. They used cutting-edge therapies, and unbelievably, for this very aggressive cancer that was all over, she's doing great right now. She's back to her old healthy and happy self.
That's Jim Olson, University of Washington oncologist, and Fred Hutchinson, cancer researcher. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.